1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A desperate search and rescue operation at this hour for two U.S. Navy SEALs off Yemen's coast. U.S. officials say they were conducting a nighttime boarding operation of a vessel by boat when they fell into the waters of the Gulf of Aden, one after the other. It comes as Houthi militants in Yemen have carried out more than two dozen attacks against commercial ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden since mid-November, and after a second round of U.S. retaliatory airstrikes. Wicked winter weather in Iowa 2 days before the caucuses. At a rally, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis urging voters to brave that bad weather.
I'm asking for your support on Monday. If you've committed to caucus for us, thank you. Bring out as many people as you can. I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to pack a punch.
The severe cold will stretch all the way down to Texas, where officials say the electrical grid will fare better than it did during a February 2021 cold snap that led to the deaths of more than 240 people. This is ABC News. The suspect in a series of long unsolved murders in New York may be facing another murder charge.
Police arrested Long Island architect Rex Huerman last year and charged him with the murders of three women whose bodies were found bound in Gilgo Beach in 2010. Since that time, they've said he was the primary suspect in the death of a fourth woman, Maureen Brainerd Barnes. Now, multiple sources tell ABC News that Huerman is due in court this week and expected to be charged with the murder of Brainerd Barnes. Her body was found bound with a belt buckle that authorities have speculated could have once belonged to Huerman's father. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Supreme Court says it will hear a case and decide if cities can stop homeless citizens from sleeping on public property. The Grants Pass, Oregon, evicted homeless campers on public grounds. Their advocates say that amounts to cruel and unusual punishment and have now appealed those evictions to the Supreme Court. The case could have a big impact on some of the nation's biggest cities trying to deal with an epidemic of homelessness. Dave Packer, ABC News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Public health experts say the spread of misinformation on social media is leading to a dangerous drop in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Mike Moan reports.
Surveys show the percentage of Americans who believe vaccines are unsafe has nearly doubled since 2021, as social media users falsely claim approved vaccines cause autism, cancer, and infertility. Dr. Monica Wang says these falsehoods spread faster than the truth with damaging results.
This health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
Wang says social media algorithms are keeping users in so-called information silos, left to discern what is true. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for Wisconsin school children slightly rebounded last year, but remain well below pre-pandemic levels. Studies show misinformation regarding the COVID-19 vaccine has cost the U.S. up to $300 million a day in healthcare and economic losses since 2021. It's also contributed to an estimated 300,000 preventable deaths of unvaccinated individuals. With COVID-19 cases still circulating, Wang says scientists can also use social media to create health content and regain the public's trust.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
Wang says social media users should look for health information from established medical institutions and avoid content making sensational medical claims. And she says, when in doubt, don't share information that lacks scientific credentials. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow and blowing snow today. A little accumulation and winds still gusting over 30, maybe 35 miles per hour. For tonight, a few snow showers, a little accumulation, low around 3 degrees. Sunday, mostly cloudy and cold with highs in the single digits and still breezy.
Right now, it's 22.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair. Fancy Brian Kelly, Calvin Butenhoff is on the board coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Very excited to be joined by our special guests. Cassie Cherney is here from the Center for Animal Rehab, and she is joined by Magoo, the umbrella cockatoo. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can check out Cassie and Magoo right now. He's sitting on her shoulder. Cassie, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in and for bringing Magoo along.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Well, tell me, first of all, about the Center for Animal Rehab. What's the history? When did this start? You're right around the corner from us in downtown Waukesha. I had no idea you were even there until our Johnny Watermelon found you. And he's like, Jane, you have to go in there. It is the coolest place you have ever seen. And he's right.
Absolutely. Our founder, Lori, started this about 30 years ago because there's not really any good resources for bird care. So we're there to educate, to help take in animals that don't have a home or need someone to love and take care of them. So we're there for education as well, not just to rehome.
And very specifically for birds, right? You're very specifically handling larger birds, parrots and cockatoos, mm-hmm. and things like that.
We're doing anything from small finches to the big, large macaws. We also do small animals. We have guinea pigs. We had a hedgehog that we just adopted out.
Oh, really?
Gerbils. We've done reptiles. We had two leopard geckos last year. We had a bearded dragon as well. And we also do senior dogs. So that is part of our seniors rock. So we have some really cute senior dogs right now.
Is Magoo chewing on your hair? No.
Oh, the evil laugh means yes.
Oh,
the evil laugh means yes.
How many birds do you have right now? Because when I went through the other day, there seemed like you had like 30 of them.
We have 95.
95?
95 with 39 of them being budgies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So not all of them are adoptable because of various possibly what health conditions and things like that. But you do try to rehome some of them. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, with so many things with pets in particular, I believe people really start out with the right intentions. Unfortunately, they don't always appreciate everything that is going to come with this particular pet. Mm-hmm. And with birds in particular, especially parrots and cockatoos, they live a really long time.
Absolutely. We're seeing a lot right now of our birds that are outliving their owners. So we have quite a few birds that are in their 40s or even 50s right now. Magoo was born in 1997, so he's in his mid-20s. We threw him a birthday party in the summer. But a lot of people will see these animals so nice and cute. They see them on the internet right now talking so cute, being so friendly, but they don't realize how much hard work they are. We have a retirement row of Amazons right now because they're all Older men.
Bunch of older guys. Just a bunch of older guys hanging out. The other thing, too, I think that people need to appreciate, if you ever consider adopting a bird of this size, they need a big cage.
Big cage,
mm-hmm. right? These are 5 foot high.
Yep.
5 foot high by 3 feet wide, at least.
We have a couple that are over 6 feet tall right now. We want those bird wings to be able to spread out. We've got a couple birds right now that were in too small of a cage for years and years and years. We have Bubba, whose shoulders and elbows are frozen. She's a resident of ours. She's a blue and gold macaw. So she's on pain meds every day. And then we have one of my new little girls who is opening up, and I'm so happy for her. Her name is Gianna. I call her Gigi for short. She came in with 30% mobility in her wings.
Oh.
So it's something, she's just blossoming right now. We're getting her wings to stretch out. And, oh, it's such a pleasure to see her just open up, get healthier, get better, and everything like that.
If you have any questions for Cassie Cherney, please text them, or you can call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And if you want to get a good look at Maku, you can jump on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have them live in studio with us. What is it with the, why are these birds in particular able to talk? What is it about birds that gives them this ability as opposed to, I don't know, a rabbit?
I feel like it's their intelligence level. They are incredibly smart. Magoo just wants to tear everything, though. We've got an African gray that's a resident named Toby, and we have a big whiteboard above his cage of all everything that we think he can say. And we're in the 90s right now that we...
90 words, 90 phrases.
90 plus. And he just keeps on plugging them along.
Now, are these like, are these phrases that are, do the birds know what they're saying, or is it just a repetition? I guess that's my, is it an application of a word, or is it just, I like saying hello, Magoo?
I think it's a little bit of each. We've got Pierre that's 43 years old. He has one word, and it's hi. We've got other birds like Toby, where I swear he was a comedian in a past life. He is so smart, and that timing is just so spot on. They truly know certain things. So.
Yeah, I've only been with Magoo for a couple minutes here, and he's definitely got a clear personality for sure. And you were talking beforehand about choosing Magoo amongst all the other birds, and you said there was a factor where you had to make sure there wasn't one that would swear. And that it seems like there's more than one you have an issue with that.
There's a few. We try and keep it to the minimum, and we always try and express those positive tones, those positive words, and that can really change it. Granted, sometimes those words never come out of their brains, but you know, we can see a difference when we're more positive towards the birds and that encouraging, good boy, good girl, sure. Good job kind of
thing. It's the same kind of positive reinforcement you do with any pets,
absolutely.
Essentially. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to say?
Disturbs me, the ignorance of humanity, and I thank you for what you're doing for these poor animals who end up in these terrible circumstances. And I just think, you know, people are not smart enough to understand what they're getting into. Plus, the thing is, I always have an issue when I adopt a pet is, what am I going to do with it when I have to go away for something, or I'm going to go on vacation for a week or two? Because a lot of pets, you can't just take to a daycare center or find someone to come in and take care of them. So that's also something people really need to consider when they take on an unusual pet like these.
Absolutely, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling. You're absolutely right. And, I mean, you need to do that with any pets, a cat, mm-hmm. a dog, yeah. anything that you might have.
I love dogs. I love dogs. I've always had one. But I haven't been in a situation in my life where I've been able to have one. And it's the second I did, I got one. But because I love dogs, I wasn't going to do that because I knew I wasn't going to be there every day to go and walk that dog.
Right. You have to think of what's in the best interest of the animal. You really do. Mm-hmm. You really do.
And part of the service we provide at CARE is boarding for birds. If you are taking a trip, we can be that place to take them in, watch them. We have volunteers that go in every single day. They get fresh food and water every single day.
Someone to interact with them?
Absolutely. So that's one service that we do provide.
Cassie Cherney is here from the Center for Animal Rehab, which is right around the corner from us here in downtown Waukesha. And she brought in Magoo, the umbrella cockatoo, talking about all the things that they do there and the rescue services that they offer. And like we said when we began, Cassie, I really do believe that most people start out with the right intentions. But especially with an animal like this and something that can live 50, 60, 70 years, that's a whole nother responsibility that you're taking on. That's a whole, whole different thing. Brian's now, Magoo is not
that's
into
cool,
you.
Magoo.
Magoo is not into you, Brian Kelly.
He climbed on my arm. He was like, yeah, that's not the same. I'm not used to that. I don't necessarily like that.
I'm curious, Cassie, where did your interest in birds start and how did you come to this?
We got our first family bird when I was 6 years old, and it was a cockatiel, and then it grew to a budgie, and then my mother's former boss had a severe macaw that they were looking to get rid of, and he wasn't taking care of the best way, so that kind of rolled into, hey, you're the bird people now. So we took in another African gray that was a family friend, and they couldn't take care of it. My former umbrella cockatoo, a guy bought her off of Craigslist, had her for a week and realized he couldn't take care of her. And so a guy came knocking on our door saying, hey, do you want a free cockatoo?
Oh, wow.
And that kind of really opened up. And that's how I started volunteering with CARE. I was looking to board her, at kind of last minute, and Lori, our president, kind of opened those doors and said, we can house her here while you take your trip and everything. So it kind of really opened up, and I have not stopped helping since.
And you, this is all volunteer?
100% volunteer. We have about 40 volunteers right now. We're always looking for more. This job is never done. There is always cleaning to do, always interacting and kind of teaching these birds different things and getting them acclimated to people and handling
right.
and everything.
Like and that. I want to say, when I was in there last week, When you go from cage to cage and they're all in their own individual spaces, they very much want interaction. I mean, the birds will come right over to where you are no matter what they're doing. They look at you with these intense little bird eyes, and you can just hear the wheels clicking in their head. But it's obvious they really are hungry for that kind of interaction and that kind of attention. You can't just put them in a cage and leave them there and wave when you walk past.
Absolutely. They're definitely social birds. They're used to being in a large flock. So they want that interaction, whether it's from other birds or people, or in my house, it's sometimes from the cat. but yeah, they love the interaction. Anything that we can do. Magoo adores head rubs.
Yeah, he just put his head under my hand like my cat or dog does.
Yep.
Pet me, pet me.
And that's what he does in his cage. He lures people in that way. He goes, look how pretty and innocent I am.
And then he takes a little snip.
Sometimes.
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 Yeah, you got to be careful with those beaks, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Magoo will still be here. So will Cassie when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
At EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to the...
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Fancy Brian Kelly, Calvin Butenhoff is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Two very special guests in studio with us. That's Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, and Cassie Cherney is from the Center for Animal Rehab, which is located right here in beautiful downtown Waukesha. It's an animal rescue facility, especially for birds and larger birds. And we're just learning about all the things that they do. If you have a question or a text, 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, it makes me wonder that, given that our birds are just, the surviving, members of the dinosaurs, that I wonder if some of the dinosaurs in the past had, vocalizations that, complex speech patterns like... our modern birds do. I mean, because, most birds have some kind of language. I mean, even your little average songbirds, I mean, they apparently have a wide range of vocalizations that are, sort of meaningless to us, but have, deep meaning for them. And parrots, of course, have, a wide range of vocalizations, and they more or less adapt, say things that are pleasing to us, and they're just, socializing with us, I guess, trying to communicate with us, by mimicking what we say to them.
Yeah, it's astonishing, Mark, and it's really astonishing when I was in the other day, and many of your birds will talk and have many different phrases, and they just are looking for this interaction, this attention, this affection, and it's wonderful to see. Tell me, you said, Cassie, that obviously no organization like this can run without volunteers. Mm-hmm. So if someone is listening, I met a woman when I was in, who drives all the way from Cedarburg. Wow. Because she loves it so much. Yeah, she loves it so much. Mm-hmm. And so how can people get involved? What are the different things that they can do at the Center for Animal Rehab?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our website, centerforanimalrehab.org. We have volunteer applications on there. We will accept just about anything. We always, always, always need help. But with that, we are also nonprofit. So no one within our facility gets paid. We get no money from anyone but donors. We do make toys to sell. We have some used cages for sale. We do grooming once a month, where we do bird nail trims and beak trims and wing trims.
Beak trimming is a thing?
It's terrifying.
Oh my God.
I can imagine.
We do it.
Wow.
Yes. Not all birds need it. Some birds, their beaks may grow differently, or maybe they had an injury where they might need a little. Magoo sometimes has a little bit on his bottom beak. If you see his top beak kind of goes down at a slight angle, so the little spike on the bottom side. But if we give them plenty of wood, hard nuts to chew on, they can usually take care of it themselves.
That was the other thing that really impressed me when I stopped in last week, was how much they love toys.
Absolutely.
There was one big parrot who had this multi-layered cardboard swingy thing, and it was obvious he loved this thing and was having so much fun with it. So they really do enjoy play.
Oh, Magoo loves it, and he finds different ways to play with the pieces that he's chewed off as well. Lori does a fantastic job of keeping him nice and busy in his cage. cage, but some of his toys don't even last it 24 hours in his cage before it's destroyed.
It's like having a puppy.
Oh, absolutely.
Essentially. The other thing that folks should keep in mind, if you're ever considering getting a larger bird like this, I would highly suggest you go to the Center for Animal Rehab so you get a better understanding of just how loud they can be.
Very, very, very loud. And that's one reason why we get so many birds surrendered, is people living in apartments or condos or neighbors or roommates that cannot tolerate that sound, or even the children. So not all birds are extremely loud. Magoo has one of the loudest calls in our facility. He can get very loud, but then 2 seconds later, he does his sweet little innocent voice again. Very extremely loud. And you can tell when they are all upset because they will all be running. I've noticed that our macaws do not like joggers past our windows. If you're walking, it's fine. Skateboarding, bicycling.
Anything. That's all good.
But if you're running, they don't like it.
And they let you know.
We all know when someone's running. I think it's a cross-country group that kind of goes past our building, and we all know when they're coming.
Cassie Cherney and Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, are with us in the studio from the Center for Animal Rehab here in downtown Waukesha. I'm so grateful to have met you. I'm so grateful to have learned about you. Again, give us your website if people want to find out more and wipe down cages. And really, if you're thinking about getting a bird like this, volunteer here first.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a question here. You were lighting up when you were talking about Gigi when she had a smaller cage and now is opening up and kind of broke. What have these birds done for you?
They've given me a little bit of purpose in life, to take care of something, to get them to a place where they can make someone else happy as well. One of my favorite birds right now is a guy who looks pretty similar to Magoo. He's another Umbrella Cockatoo. His name is Junior. He was my first pickup from a surrender. I want to say maybe 2-3 years ago. And he was in a very, very small cage. It was wrapped in a towel or a big blanket. It had a lock on there that they almost couldn't find the key for.
Oh.
He had one perch and a bowl of sunflower seeds at the bottom. And when I brought him back to our facility, he was so scared. He was not eating for a few days. He kind of stayed in one spot. He wasn't playing with toys. Opening it up now, he is such a happy guy. He plays with all sorts of toys. We get him out, and he will go to anyone. So we are just trying to find his forever home. We've got someone who's a little interested in him, so I'm not saying he's 100% available. He is just such a happy boy, and I am so proud of how far he's come.
Well, thank you for all the work you guys do at the Center for Animal Rehab. What a wonderful service you provide. And again, your website is
centerforanimalrehab.org. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. that wasn't a joke. I don't want to say my spare time because I barely have spare time, but I take a lot of pictures of the birds. So we're trying to get that out on our social medias so people can see how beautiful these birds are.
They truly are.
He knows where that mic is.
And he knows it's all about him. Thank you so very much for coming in. Really appreciate it. Cassie Cherney, Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, joining us from the Center for Animal Rehab. The news is on the way next when we return. Tough act to follow when you're following an umbrella cockatoo. J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be joining us to talk things sports. This is Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A desperate search and rescue operation at this hour for two U.S. Navy SEALs off Yemen's coast. U.S. officials say they were conducting a nighttime boarding operation of a vessel by boat when they fell into the waters of the Gulf of Aden, one after the other. It comes as Houthi militants in Yemen have carried out more than two dozen attacks against commercial ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden since mid-November, and after a second round of U.S. retaliatory airstrikes. Wicked winter weather in Iowa 2 days before the caucuses. At a rally, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis urging voters to brave that bad weather.
I'm asking for your support on Monday. If you've committed to caucus for us, thank you. Bring out as many people as you can. I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to pack a punch.
The severe cold will stretch all the way down to Texas, where officials say the electrical grid will fare better than it did during a February 2021 cold snap that led to the deaths of more than 240 people. This is ABC News.
Packers' Keyshawn Nixon named to the All-Pro team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers defensive back Keyshawn Nixon is in his second year of returning kickoffs and once again has been named to the AP's All-Pro first team. Matt LaFleur.
What an honor for everybody, because he can't do that alone. There's a lot of guys, there's, you know, blocking for him, doing what they do, and so it's a credit to that whole unit, and certainly he's an incredible talent.
Keyshawn Nixon asked, what does it mean to be named the best kickoff returner in the league for a second consecutive year?
I think it's big for me, and my accomplishment, but it's kudos to everybody. It always starts with the return unit, but for me, my accomplishments, they tell me some stat like the only people to ever go back-to-back was like Devin Hester and Cordell Patterson, so that's a hell of a group to be with.
The Packers take on the Cowboys in Dallas in the wild card playoffs Sunday. Has he ever returned one at AT&T Stadium?
I've never played in Dallas. It's going to be brand new for me.
That's the Packers kick returner, Keyshawn Nixon. For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow and blowing snow today. A little accumulation and winds still gusting over 30, maybe 35 miles per hour. For tonight, a few snow showers, a little accumulation, low around 3 degrees. Sunday, mostly cloudy and cold with highs in the single digits and still breezy.
Right now, it's 22.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To a
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Luke Mathers coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and yesterday marked National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. So our special guest is Dr. Debbie Lassiter. She's the CEO and co-founder of the Convergence Resource Center. It's a 20-year-old faith-based nonprofit helping female survivors of human trafficking. Dr. Lassiter, thank you so very much for joining the show today. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
It's a really horrible thing to have to talk about, but it exists, and it is a widespread problem, human trafficking.
Yes it is. We have been given kind of the moniker of being the Harvard of human trafficking because people come here from all over to learn how to traffic, but actually it is in every city, every state, every country. And it follows the largest events. And so it's all over.
So what, explain HEMED to me, if you would, please, because I know that's one of your group's signature things.
Yeah, that is really one of our signatures that we're very, very proud of. HEMED is Human Trafficking Educators, with men and boys standing against the demand. And so what we do is we educate men on what human trafficking actually is. Most of the time, men don't associate human trafficking as being a crime without some education, because it has been so normalized in our society that we ignore it. When men go to a strip club, or even women to a strip club, they don't think that the people that are performing on stage are doing it against their will. Many times they are. As a matter of fact, about 90% of our clients say to us they have been in every strip club in Wisconsin, forced to perform at all different ages. Some of them as young as 15, 16, performing in strip clubs that grown men are in, but they're not looking at it thinking, oh, they don't want to be there. We have to educate men and the community to understand that human trafficking has to involve fraud, force, or coercion. Fraud, you understand because I lie to you. Force, you understand because I inflict physical pain on you. But coercion is tricky because I trick you into thinking that you wanted to do it. So you don't see it as a crime. Sure. You don't report it as a crime. And so that is it. And so what HEMED does is it allows men to take a visible stand against human trafficking. We have had over 60,000 men in 11 states and 3 countries to take a stand against human trafficking. And this past year, we had our very first HEMED bikers ride, where motorcycle bikers from all over Wisconsin rode from Milwaukee to Madison, took the pledge and took a stand against human trafficking.
Well, that's hopeful. It's something. Debbie Lassiter is our guest. She is the CEO of the Convergence Resource Center, which works with female victims of human trafficking. I'm curious, Dr. Lassiter, when your educators talk to these groups of men, what is the biggest revelation for them? What are their responses when they're presented with this information that not everybody's doing this voluntarily?
Right. So part of the education is like about a 3 to 5 minute video that they watch that tells them what human trafficking is and how it manifests. And what we saw the first year we did it at this scale, men actually became emotional. Some of them even shed tears because they realized that activities that they had participated in actually contributed to human trafficking, and they were devastated. Because they have daughters, they have wives, sisters, cousins, friends, and they had no idea that inviting girls into a frat party, right, thinking that they want to be there because they volunteered, and finding out that, hey, that wasn't what was happening. That wasn't what was happening at your bachelor party. That's not what's happening when you go to the strip club. That's not what happened when you participate in prostitution. Because even though prostitution is illegal in the state of Wisconsin, it's active. We know that.
Sure.
But everyone jumping in and out of a car or meeting you somewhere in a hotel or doing an in call or an out call is not doing it voluntarily. And so they were devastated.
I don't want to say that that's good. because I don't want anyone to be devastated, but we have to face the reality of what you just pointed out. And certainly we all want to assume that the dancers at the strip clubs are all doing this because they, you know, they're paying their college tuition and whatever. And but that's not necessarily the case. And certainly that's not the case with prostitution. And one of the things I have learned over the years in talking to different experts, the grooming is so insidious in several different situations. In some instances, it's a man finding a young, vulnerable girl, convincing her, I'm going to take care of you. I love you. And then sending her out to traffic. Other instances are family members trafficking other family members. And I think that's one of the things that shocked me the most.
Yeah, interfamilial trafficking is real. It is very active in our state as well as other places. Often they don't see it as a crime because it came from the family. Mothers are trafficking their daughters. Fathers are trafficking their daughters. They're teaching their sons to be traffickers. They're teaching their daughters to be traffickers. And so when you come to them, law enforcement or someone else comes to them and say, hey, this is wrong, we can stop this, you're asking them to turn against their family. So they're not readily jumping up and down saying, hey, yeah, I want to do it.
Sure.
It's just like if all my life I thought red was that bright red color and I walk into a room and now you tell me, no, that's not red, that's yellow. I don't believe you. And that's what we come up against. They don't believe you and will become very aggressive in their non-belief. We saw a lot of it in the news in Wisconsin in recent years. I think a lot of people were shocked when that mother in Kenosha was trafficking her 15 and 16-year-old daughters with a pedophile living in the house and sleeping in the bedroom next to her 9-year-old son. So, you know, people do it for all different reasons. It always comes down to money. It's never just a power issue. It's always money involved. It's a $150 billion a year business. And that's tax-free because they're not reporting their taxes,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, exactly. If you're just joining us, Dr. Debbie Lassiter is our guest. She's the CEO and co-founder of Convergence Resource Center. It's a 20-year-old faith-based nonprofit that helps female survivors of human trafficking. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and that's why Dr. Lassiter is joining us today. So how do you... In that scenario where it is intrafamily trafficking, what kind of educational journey do people have to go on in order to recognize this?
Well, often what we, first of all, I would say anyone that's going to work with human trafficking survivors, please get trained. Because if you're not trained, you're going to re-victimize, you're going to hurt them, you're going to cause lots of problems. Many times, if it's an interfamilial trafficking situation, we can't go in saying, hey, your whole family's bad and you need to stand up against that. You have to really build a relationship with the person. And there has to be a mental health professional that is trained in working with human trafficking survivors. Because what's going to happen is that she begins to realize, or he begins to realize, that there was something wrong with what happened. And then to realize that their family were the ones doing it to them. And then for them to realize that it's something that you should be trying to get away from. There's a lot of trauma coming.
Boy,
out of that.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what that slow discovery process must be like for some of these people who have been victimized. That's got to be a really painful journey.
And what people have to realize, too, is along with that, that trauma bond has been built. An example would be a lady that we worked with for years. When I first met her, her trafficker liked to set her on fire. He thought it was fun to watch. He kept her in a cage under a bed, and he only let her out when she was working. And so after he had been arrested, she said to me, she said, Dr. D, I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to think bad of me. I said, oh, sure. What is it? She said, I need to go see him and check on him and make sure he's okay. Now, everything in me was screaming one thing, but my face had to show something completely different.
Sure.
And my conversation with her couldn't be a condemning one of him or of her. So I just had to talk with her for about a half hour to say, well, why do you think you need to go see him? What do you think is wrong? So she could go through that in her mind and then come to herself. You know, well, maybe I shouldn't go see him. I think you're right. Maybe you shouldn't. You know, so we have to be trained in how to talk to them. Because if I would have said, oh, that's stupid. Why do you want to go see him? Do you know what he did to you? Then we are doing everything that the trafficker told her we would do.
Wow.
We are saying that he is evil. We are saying that their life together is wrong. And they have a whole subculture. They have a different life that lives under our lives, right? They have their culture. They have their language. They have their way of doing things. And they've told them that, oh, they don't understand us. They don't get us, right? And so if we fall into that, we've lost her. She's not going to talk to us. She's not going to give us any information. And we don't force them to work with law enforcement. I'm not against law enforcement. I believe that we need law enforcement and we must work together with them whenever possible. But we don't force survivors to speak to law enforcement. But many times they want to once they realize what has actually happened.
Boy, Dr. Lassiter, that scenario, though, I can absolutely see myself in that position going, what are you saying? You're going to go visit him. Are you crazy? You know, and here's why you shouldn't do it. And and like you said, then she's going to completely tune you out.
Exactly.
So I applaud your calm self-restraint and just your ability to. But again, you have been trained. You know how to do this. Dr. Debbie Lassiter is our guest, the CEO of the Convergence Resource Center. So what kind of training is involved if you're going to be working with victims of human trafficking?
So we have our facilitators go through, of course, human trafficking 101, but then they also go through trauma 101. They go through self-care training. They're trained in heart math, which I believe the only heart math coach and trainer in the state of Wisconsin. There may be one other one, but I am a heart math coach and trainer. We have heart math coaches at our site. We also have ad hoc facilitator trainers at our site. We train survivors to help other survivors with that. And heart math teaches you how to recover from trauma using your own body and to manage your stress. And so it's used in every profession. All the police officers in Germany have gone through heart math. And it because trauma stays in your body. So they used a monitor on a police officer. He went to a domestic violence call where the person was armed at about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning when his shift started. He handled the situation. No one was hurt. He went through the whole rest of his day very calm, doing his job. At I think they said it was like 7 or 8 o'clock that evening. They checked his monitor and his stress level was exactly the same as when he walked into that situation.
Wow.
Because stress stays in your body. So we have to train them how to get that out. So because it can become very detrimental. They're also trained in ending the game, which is a 10-week psychologically walking a person out of the commercial sex trade, because often they don't see it as a crime. So you have to help them understand that. And our people are also trained in a lot of different ways to work with a person. They do have on-site AODA support, not treatment, but support. And we also have on-site psychotherapists, one of the best that I know of in the country, dealing with people that have worked with human trafficking, and she trains our psychotherapists. And so those are a few of the trainings, but the training is ongoing because the world of human trafficking is consistently changing.
Sure.
And so the training is ongoing.
Dr. Lassiter, we're coming up against the break. I would love to keep you for another segment if you have the time.
So we can No problem.
Great. So we can continue this conversation. Dr. Debbie Lassiter is the CEO of the Convergence Resource Center. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, yesterday marking National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. If you have a question, you can text it in for Dr. Lassiter at 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Luke Mathers coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. Yesterday marked National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. So our guest, Dr. Debbie Lassiter, the CEO and the co-founder of the Convergence Resource Center, been around for 20 years helping female survivors of human trafficking. Dr. Lassiter, what is something that people who are listening, what can we do? What can folks do?
Well, there are quite a few things. One of them, of course, would be to get some awareness training. Awareness is offered a lot of times throughout the state, sometimes virtually, to just know what's out there and know what's available. We do provide those trainings. If people want to have us come out and do a training or do a virtual one, we can do that. Get trained if possible. If you have a few hours or some time during the week, we love volunteers. We love people to come alongside and help. If you don't want to deal directly with survivors, there are a lot of other ways that you can help. There's a lot of background stuff that needs to be done. Of course, if you have a services or something you want to volunteer, we are very, very open to that. For the first 13 years, we were an all-volunteer shop.
Oh, my.
And we still worked exactly like we do now. We worked our full-time jobs in the daytime and did our human trafficking stuff at night, and folks that worked second shift did theirs in the daytime. And so we did that for our first 13 years and serviced over 2,000 women. And so volunteering, of course, donations are always great, financial, or we hand out what's called a SOS bag. That's a solace offering support. I just need to let you know I'm an acronym nut, okay?
That works.
So we give them full size shower gel, conditioner, shampoo. Now, guys, I need to just say this because people right away send us a bunch of toothpaste and toothbrushes. And the ladies asked us about that. Why are they doing that? We know why they're doing it. Please stop. Send something else. Send lotion, send shampoo. We don't need socks because Bama gives us those, but other things of that nature. And then what we also do is we make blankets for the women and for little children. And we have a specific yarn that we use from Michaels. So gift cards to Michaels would help us so that we can get some more of that yarn. And also gift cards for the ladies for gas cards and things like that. Or to Walmart so they can buy things when they move into their apartment. They don't have dishes. They don't have, sure. You know, things like that.
They're starting so those from are zero. All things.
Yeah. And all those things. But also, we want to really encourage men to take that pledge. We want to really, ladies, encourage the men in your life to watch that video, take that pledge, and take that stand. And we give them a nice band that they can wear that says, I'm mad and I stand against human trafficking. And it is such a conversation starter for people. So we'd love it if they do that.
And that is so crucial, isn't it, Dr. Lassiter, that mm-hmm. men talk to other men about this. That's the mm-hmm. only way this is going to change, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Yes. And while we know that men are not the only customer in the commercial sex trade, because there are a lot of female traffickers and there are a lot of women who participate in the service as well, but men are the largest part of that customer base. And we're just asking them to take the lead and say no.
Where are you located, Dr. Lassiter?
We're currently located at 7961 North 76th Street. That's about 76th and Bradley. And our phone number is 414-979-0591. That's 414-979-0591. And I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to stay for another segment. We really appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. This is so important, and it's a really difficult topic, and no one wants to admit that this is happening, but it is. Mm-hmm. And we can't stick our fingers in our ears and close our eyes and pretend it's just going to go away if we don't try and facilitate some changes. So, and exactly. I know you have a gala coming up. So let's talk about that.
Ooh, yes, we do. We will be celebrating our 20 years in April of 2024, April 26th at the Art Hotel St. Kate.
Ooh.
And we are so excited about that. Marcus is amazing. But they're really helping us. And we just would like people to go to our website at convergenceresource.org and find out about that gala and support in any way you can. And one thing we are asking people to do, we want to bring back about 50 of our clients. We see them as works of art, right? Avoid recidivism track. And we're looking for services for them, people that can help buy their dress, get their hair done, get their nails done, limousine services that could pick them up and drop them off at the event and take them back home. So if you can help in any way like that or be a sponsor in any way, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, and their stories, the women who have managed to escape, mm-hmm. their stories must, I can't even imagine what that's like.
It is amazing. We had one woman when she left her trafficker. See, because we also go to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not. We go to the Super Bowl and do rescues on the ground because, unfortunately, the Super Bowl is the largest human trafficking event in the world. It is not the Super Bowl itself. It's the events around it, the parties and the leather and lace party, which is frightening to me. But anyway, so they do all of this. Many times when they get away, they're coming back to Wisconsin. A lot of the women we come in contact with are from Wisconsin. We're putting people on planes, sending them back here. We're sending them all over the other world as well, but a lot of them are coming back
here.
And when they come back, often the only place they have to live is to go back to the trafficker.
And
we got to stop. We got to remedy that.
Yeah. And then the cycle continues.
Starts right back up.
Yeah.
Because they are so wise and so crafty. You know, they will convince them. There have been women and girls in the hospital being treated for something that happened to them while they were being trafficked. And that trafficker will call them on the phone and say, I need you to get up out of that hospital because I need you to go back to work. And they will get up and leave that hospital. One of our ladies told us her trafficker had broken her arm and she went in, got it reset. And while she was in the hospital, he called her and said, I'm outside. She got up and nobody stopped her from walking out of the hospital.
You don't have to do that. If you're in that situation, there is help out there.
That's right.
Contact the Convergence Resource Center. Debbie, Dr. Lassiter, one more time, what's your phone number?
414-979-0591. That's 414-979-0591. And we have gone to the hospital. We will go to the hospital. You know, we have contacts all over the United States and some outside, but we can do our best to get that person out of there and get that person to safety. And there are a lot of resources in Wisconsin. As you know, we're part of the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force. And so we are part of the governor's, the Attorney General's Task Force, as well as the Milwaukee Joint Human Trafficking Task Force with Sojourner. We're part of all of that.
Dr. Debbie Lassiter, the CEO of the Convergence Resource Center, thank you so very much for the work that you and your teams do. And thank you so very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay close. News is coming up next. And then we're going nuts for hazelnuts. This is Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street. This is Oshkosh Air Support. 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.